Kids for Love. It's a project, a mission, and a radio show. Join Deborah Beauvais as she highlights her young co-hosts. Listen to their inspirational stories in starting nonprofits and their life work to help other kids in need. We'll learn from these conscious kids how serving others can heal our own lives while spreading love to the masses. We invite you to join in for spirited conversation filled with creative ideas and possibilities to start your own mission. Let's raise the bar together and cultivate a kinder world by getting inspired to help others in need. Kids for Love Project, celebrating kids that empower others.
Everyone, I'm Deborah Beauvais, and I'm very excited for the show today. And whether you're listening today, next week, next year, there's always something to learn, and please share with everyone. This is a live Dream Vision 7 radio broadcast here at 1510 AM, WMEX Boston. The show can also be heard every Wednesday on our own syndicated station, and that's Dream Visions, all one word with an S on the end, the number 7radio.com. And it's every Wednesday, 4 p.m. and 4 a.m. Eastern Time. And you'll probably hear it on Saturdays, too. You just never know. The other piece that I wanted to mention to everyone out there, we now have a kids blog, and the kids are as young as 6 years old, answering questions, how to stop bullying, how to save animals, all kinds of things. So go have your parents, anyone listening that is a parent, have your kids answer the questions and send them to us, and we'll post them up and promote. And this is how we're really making a difference in the world. And there'll also Kids for Love Project bracelets you'll see there, and that stands for unconditional love, compassion, harmony, and free from all bullying. So check those out. But we have a superb guest with us. She started her nonprofit at 12 years old, or started making a difference at 12, and she now is the founder of Kids Right to Know, and that's actually the website, kidsrighttoknow.com. And she's now 16 years old, a teen activist making a difference not only in Canada but all over the world. And it's all about GMO. And how we can get back to eating real food and having those that actually control the food grow it real. So without further ado, Rachel Parent, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me here.
You're welcome. I'm very excited. So let's talk about what happened when you were 12 and what inspired you to go from, you know, create what you have in these last 4 years.
Well, it all actually started at the age of 11 years old, and I was in grade 6, and I was given the task of writing a speech for school, and I had no clue what to do it on. But I did know that I really wanted to do it on something that would impact a lot of people. And so I thought, why not our food? We all have to eat. So through that, I started to research our food system and started to find out more and more about GMOs, or genetically modified organisms. And what that is where they take DNA from one species and insert it into another to introduce a new trait. And I found out that they were linked to so many health and environmental issues, and yet almost no one in my class knew about it. So that's when I decided I needed to take action. So at the age of 12 years old, I founded the organization Kids Right to Know, and our goal is to gain mandatory GMO labeling. That way we all simply have the right to know what's in our food.
Right. And so now, do you know why? Is it all about money? Is that why it's genetically altered?
Yeah, for sure. Really, for the companies, there's a lot of benefits to this because they can patent these seeds. And that way, they have to sell it to the farmer year after year. The farmers are no longer allowed to save their seeds, which had been done for thousands and thousands of years. Now the companies actually own the seeds. And if a farmer who didn't buy these genetically modified seeds has them on their property, they can be sued or even lose their farms. So it's definitely about the profits for these corporations.
Wow. And so what happens if the farmer wants to grow their own, find organic seeds?
Well, they can find organic seeds, but it's becoming less and less available, and it's harder and harder to find them. Many farmers have continued to save their seeds year after year, but there is still an issue if they plant, let's say, corn, and their next-door neighbor has genetically modified corn. Their corns can actually cross-pollinate, and therefore, the farmer with the original organic corn can be sued for having genetically modified corn on their property.
Right. Isn't that amazing? It's really sad, I feel. I love nutrition and was all organic when my daughters were tiny and all through their growing up. And, you know, it's really sad that everything has changed so much, and we're going back to organic, we're going back to real food. And I really feel now is the time. How do you feel about that, Rachel? Do you feel that things are happening at a faster pace, more people are speaking up and they're not going to buy certain products?
Oh, my gosh. The movement is growing so much and so fast. It's been incredible. Even over the past 4 years, watching this grow, before people would ask me, you know, like, what's the difference? And now I see the organic movement is growing so fast. As it is today, the organic and non-GMO movement is the fastest growing movement. So it's so exciting and it's so incredible to be a part of it.
Yes, I bet. And for the listeners, let's go back. So there are four main pieces, corn, canola, soy, and sugar beets. Those are the four major grains that or products that are GMO, and then it overflows into other products? Or how does that work?
Yeah, so the four main GMO crops are corn, canola, soy, and sugar beets. But, of course, then these are processed, so what you'll get is canola oil, vegetable oil, high-fructose corn syrup, and sugar, which you see in a lot of your grocery stores or what we often use for baking or cooking. So when you're trying to avoid GMOs, what you want to do is avoid anything containing corn, canola, soy, vegetable oil, high-fructose corn syrup, and, of course, majority of these are in things such as corn or chips or dips, even salad dressings. When we're eating salad, we think we're eating healthy, but in reality, we could be putting genetically modified dressing on our salad, so it really defeats the purpose. So what we have to do is really start to dissect the ingredients and look at the ingredients and try and find things that do not contain these specific ingredients.
Right, and it's really getting to it's not that hard, but it's getting into a habit of reading everything that you purchase, if it's other than fresh vegetables and fruits and things of that sort.
Exactly.
And once you get to know the different ones, you can choose properly as to what you buy. I think sometimes people, parents, may be so busy that they don't want to take the time. But that first day when you start reading everything, it does take a little bit of time. But after that, you just whiz through. And I have to say, what I've heard through the Celiac Foundation, or one of the organizations for celiac, gluten-free, gluten sensitivities, that a lot of this is cropping up because of the pesticides and the GMOs and all of that. Have you, with your knowledge, because it's quite extensive at 16 years old, have you heard anything about that?
I have, and I've even heard things such as Roundup is a herbicide that's used with GMOs, and what they're doing is with the wheat production, so when they're growing a crop of wheat, what the farmers often do is spray Roundup all over their crops, and it dries them up, so then they can harvest it much faster. Now, a lot of people are having adverse reactions to this Roundup, and actually the WHO, which is a World Health Organization, just came out and said that glyphosate, which is the main ingredient in Roundup, has actually probably causing cancer. And right now, the number one killer of children in Canada is cancer. And this has been in our food for the past 10, 20 years. And it could possibly be making kids around Canada sick.
Absolutely. And it's not rocket science when you think about it. The human body isn't designed to eat anything but real food. So if you introduce a chemical, then that body is going to have some side effects or some reactions. And then on top of it, you know how, and I'm speaking to you because you have such vast knowledge this way, and that there's, you know, a lot of times they will say, well, if you have a small percentage, it's not going to bother you. But take a human body that's young, you know, 6, 7 years old, and put 10 or 20 different percentages in there. It adds up, and we're just not designed to have those kinds of chemicals in our bodies, especially when kids are growing.
Exactly.
Yeah. So what other things have you found out that, you know, that companies are doing that we don't really know?
Well, I mean, there's so much. And, in fact, even what really got me into this movement was Proposition 37 in California, and that was to label GMOs. And what really got me motivated about this was the fact that corporations spent millions and millions of dollars just to hide labeling. Obviously, they had something to hide if they don't want to label their foods, and yet they say that they're so proud of these genetically modified foods and they're so safe for everyone. Well, if they're safe and they're tested, why not label them? Why not give us the simple right to know what's in our food? So that's one of the things that I found out, and this has continuously happened within different states in the U.S. where they tried to label GMOs, and corporations poured millions of dollars to hide what is actually in their food.
Right. Wow. That's amazing. And then so, you know what, also, Rachel, a lot of us, you know, it's so busy that we're not really taking the time to see what we are eating. And I think it's time to put that first because of the kids and the next generation and the next generation. And if more of us stand up and not buy that product, that's the whole thing. If we're not buying the product, then they won't. Then they'll have to make choices. Look at is it Cheerios? I think is now GMO free, and that all came about because of a number of, you know, a group of mothers coming forth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's incredible, and the pace that this is moving at. People always say, you know, it's so hard to go non-GMO and it's so hard to go organic. You know, what can we do? But in reality, it's getting so much easier. And on the positive side, I was in a supermarket the other day, and I hadn't been there in a couple of months. And so we went in, and I was looking around, and almost all of the products had the non-GMO verified sticker on it. And I just got so excited. And also, a lot of the products were organic. And it was just such a crazy shift, because before it was all Kellogg's products, and now it was all Nature's Path. And so the shift in thinking and the shift in consumers' thinking is really growing, and it's so positive.
Absolutely. And there's even some of the chains that are in here, separate from Whole Foods, where everything is GMO-free. But even the smaller grocery store chains have a sizable organic sections in all the areas, which shows you that things have been changing. So let's talk about GMO labeling is mandatory in 64 countries around the world. Speak to that.
Well, that's also another thing that really shocked me in the beginning was the fact that Canada and the U.S. didn't have mandatory GMO labeling. So through research, I found out that 64 other countries around the world already require it, including China and Russia. And at that moment, I realized they know something that we don't. we really deserve that, because if they have it, why can't we? And even in my recent meeting with Health Canada, I met with the Minister of Health, Honorable Rona Ambrose, and when I sat down and had a discussion with her, I asked her, why is it, or does it concern you, that 64 other countries around the world already require GMO labeling, and yet we don't? And she kind of jumped around the answer, but she said, you know, I find it interesting, but until we have evidence that supports that it's not safe, then we won't do anything about it. And yet there's so much evidence out there. And in fact, I gave her many, many studies proving that there are many health and environmental issues associated with this.
And how did she react when she shared those stories?
Well, she said she would share it with the Health Canada officials, which I then met with a few months ago, actually. And in that meeting, we discussed their regulations and their standards for testing, and I found out that they actually do not do any of the testing themselves. And they told me that they rely purely on the corporations because it's their responsibility.
Mm. So what can we do? Because this, I mean, if you're speaking to someone of that caliber, and I have to say, I commend you and I am in awe of all that you have done, Rachel, in your 4 years. And it's just astronomical that the work you've done to bring attention to this, not only in your own country, but the U.S. and the world. So thank you for that. You know, and this is why the whole purpose of the show is for young teens, young kids to inspire others to start doing something. And then it's you kids that are inspiring adults to do the same. So I thank you so much.
Thank you.
When do you have the time? Because you're, well, now it's summer, but do you get to go out and speak to some of these higher level people, the choice makers, during the school year?
I do. I waited a year to meet with our health minister, actually. I challenged her in October 2014, and I met with her 2013, and then I met with her in 2014.
Wow.
And so it took a long time to get a meeting with her. I got 20,000 petitions signed that way I could. And finally, when Global News got involved and asked her if she would meet with me, the answer was yes. So, yeah, it was definitely a struggle getting the meetings, but it was definitely worth it, and it creates so much more awareness.
Absolutely, absolutely. And with every time that you do this, do you see every speech, every action that you're doing is, you know, feeding the movement, feeding even, I'll go further, there's a vibration of energy, and you're feeding that energy so that more people become aware and make wiser choices for their bodies. So.
Yeah, and I think it's not just me, but I think it's the whole movement. I think that's what really makes the difference, because in my belief, of course one person can make a difference. We can all make a change in the world, but together is when we can really make the difference. So
absolutely.
I think that's when the biggest change is made.
Absolutely. Well said. Well, we're coming up on a break in a little bit, but I wanted you to take a moment and talk about, you've actually been to Brazil, so share a little bit about that.
Brazil is amazing. I was there a few years ago, and what's really unfortunate is that they're cutting down our rainforest in Brazil and the Amazon, to plant genetically modified soy. And that was just so heart-wrenching to know and to see and to find out, because, first of all, the rainforest is what gives us most of the oxygen for our entire planet, and that's being cut down to plant genetically modified soy, and this soy is contaminating the soil and the water, our entire ecosystem. And by cutting down our rainforest, you're killing animals and displacing natives. And so it was definitely heart-touching for me. But also to know that this genetically modified soy is then fed to factory-farmed animals. And factory farming is actually one of the biggest contributors to global warming and climate change. So it's such a big circle, and it's all connected.
Mm. Now, how is it connected? Explain that for the listeners.
Well, what's happening is, because of the fact that our rainforest is being cut down to plant this GMO soy actually requires more pesticides and fertilizers and herbicides. So then that goes into our soil and our water, and people drink that, and it makes them sick, or then our soil is less fertile. And it's also affecting the birds and our bees and the butterflies and the pollinators. So that's a huge, huge issue. In fact, our bees are dying off so fast because of the pesticides and herbicides that are used with GMOs. And then on top of that, the reason most of these GMOs are grown is for either biofuels, junk food, or animal feed. In fact, one-third of it goes towards animal feed. And majority of these animals that are being fed genetically modified soy are factory farmed animals. And because they're factory farmed, it's actually contributing to global warming and the crisis that we have with climate change right now.
Well said. Wow. And that is the circle. It's really the circle of life and what's happening. So, wow, thank you for that. So we need to take our first break, and we'll get back to that, too. There's so much to share. Everyone, we're with teen activist Rachel Perrin. She's from Canada, and for the last 4 to 5 years, she has been working on educating people and the people that are making, the companies that are making choices to remove GMOs from our food that we're eating. And her site is Kids Right to Know, just as it sounds, kidsrighttoknow.com. Don't go away. We'll give out the number. I still have a couple of seconds. The number's here if you'd like to call in and ask Rachel a question, 617-237-1234, 617-237-1234, or 866-338-9663.
We've been waiting for, we are the ones who can change the world.
Experience a different yet profound healing with Reconnective Healing. Includes yet expands beyond any and all known forms of energy healing. The Reconnective Healing Spectrum is comprised of the full healing and evolutionary continuum of energy, light, and information. It allows for healings that are not just physical, not just mental, not just emotional, yet go beyond that to bring healing that includes the evolution of your very being and essence. Deborah Beauvais, trained and certified by world-renowned Dr. Eric Pearl, offers appointment hours at Seekonk Family Chiropractic in Seekonk, Massachusetts. For questions or to set up both distance or local sessions, call Deborah at 508-431-1959. Again, 508-431-1959. Or go to lovebyintuition.com. That's lovebyintuition.com.
Do you wish to have inner peace while living in challenging times? Are you unhappy and don't know why? Life consists of either a path of love or fear. When we choose a path of love, we learn and grow. If we choose a path of fear, we stay stuck in negativity. The time is now to heal ourselves and the world by choosing a different way. Through the path to your power, your inner light, you will find self-love and experience amazing changes. You can have inner peace, wonderful relationships, good health, and a flow of abundance. Complete the circle of illuminating love using our tools and learn how to retain your power throughout life. To learn more about the path to your power and the Divine Love Within consultations, call Deborah Beauvais at 508-226-1723 or go to lovebyintuition.com.
The goal of the Jesse Lewis Choose Love Foundation is to cultivate a more peaceful world by creating awareness that we can choose love. By providing tools for our children and communities, we can enable them to develop a healthy level of optimism that leads to resilience. Our mission is to give people the understanding that they can choose love by living a life with gratitude, having the ability to forgive, and to be compassionate. This is a proactive effort towards mental health that'll provide children and adults with the perspective and wisdom they need to be able to navigate through life in a happy, fulfilled, and meaningful way. Our website is jessielewischooselove.org.
Join Dr. Bernie Siegel on Mind Health Matters every first Sunday at 8 p.m., all part of the Dream Vision 7 radio network. Bernie will draw from his inspirational personal journey, offering us special nuggets of his sacred wisdom. Listen in as Bernie reminds us to be fully engaged in life. Invite the Kids for Love Project, an enrichment program, into your school, classroom, or wellness center. Kids for Love Project is focused on teaching kids unconditional love for self and others. The project is a journey into self-discovery. It consists of fun, creative tools to learn self-love, like I choose love, I am love, I stand in love, and utilizing one's energies with reconnective healing and tuning into one's intuition for inner guidance, plus connecting to our natural surroundings. Kids who hold love for self do not bully or harm others. Let's cultivate a kinder world that holds compassion for all. Teaching the power of love to our kids is the way. To learn more or to bring Kids for Love Project to your school, contact Deborah Beauvais, 508-226-1723. That's 508-226-1723. Or go to our Kids for Love Project on Facebook.
If you're just tuning in, this is the Kids for Love Project radio show. And if you're interested in hearing more about the project, that's when we go out to the school systems and teaching kids how to self-love, how not to bully. It's all about empowering, getting tuned into their senses, the magnificence that they are, the creativity, energy work, everything. So you can learn more about that on the station site, which is Dream Visions, all one word with an S on the end, the number 7, radio.com. Now, we are with Rachel Parent. She's from Canada. She is our co-host today, and she started and founded the KidsRightToKnow.com back in when she was 12 years old, or, 12, but started all of this when she was 11. Now, when you were speaking before the break, you were speaking about that circle, and a lot of people don't realize that if bees aren't around, we wouldn't have the food because they need to pollinate it. So I'm sure you found that out.
Exactly. That was a huge turning point for me, and I actually have a story about this. Both bees and butterflies actually pollinate all of our food, and bees are responsible for 1 in 3 bites of food that we eat every day. And butterflies obviously do an amazing job pollinating as well. And so every year I go up to around cottage country here, and we buy a monarch caterpillar. And last year I went to go buy one, and what you do is you watch it hatch, and then you let it go, and it flies away. But last year I went to go buy one, and they said that they had all died or they were all gone and they couldn't find any. And so I was really curious as to why one year they had thousands and the next year they had none. And when I looked around the area, this was the first year that they had planted genetically modified seeds and corn all around this butterfly sanctuary, and that was definitely eye-opening.
Wow. Wow. And so... did they realize that, and now they're going to do something about it?
Well, of course, there's different farmers all around, and hopefully they start to try and go non-GMO. But as far as the butterflies are concerned, they can't sustain themselves there anymore because of this GMO corn and canola and soy that's being grown around it.
Wow. It's amazing to find out information like that. Wow. And so another thing that you've done is you've been to India.
Yeah, India was an incredible trip. And I went there for a course, actually, that was led by Vandana Shiva, and Satish Kumar, who are both incredible, incredible people, role models for me. And it was a course about Gandhi and his teachings. I had the honor of meeting Tara Gandhi, Gandhi's granddaughter.
Oh, wow.
So that was an incredible experience. And I learned more about agriculture and what's really happening in India. They have a huge issue with genetically modified cotton. And in fact, farmers are actually growing this GMO cotton, and it's failing, and they're going further and further into debt. And by Indian law, if a farmer is in debt and they commit suicide, their debt isn't passed on to their family. So right now, one farmer every 30 minutes is committing suicide, which is absolutely horrible, and it's really, really touching. So that's why I went there, to really find out more about that. And on this trip, I think one of the main things I learned is that, of course, fighting for peace is very important. Peace globally is very important. But the stepping stones to peace are really starting to be in harmony with our soil and our water, our ecosystems, even our local communities. And that's the first step to having global peace.
Right. And I'll add to that that, you know, I believe if we live from our truth and resonate in love for self and others, then that is felt and expands. And when you're resonating in that love and caring for your body, then the next step is you're feeding yourself and your family with whole food. Everything comes together, just as you're saying. So it's a beautiful thing. So that, it sounds like you had quite an experience and something that will stay with you forever.
It will, for sure.
Yes. And now, have you been to other countries as well?
Yeah, I have the honor of speaking in Australia. I speak in the U.S. quite often, and I've been to Argentina. I don't even remember where I've been now.
Wow. And let me ask you this. When growing up, were your parents very, were they always talking about making a difference in your in lives in general? And did you watch them do things? What ignited you to do all this work?
From a very young age, my parents did teach me to have compassion for nature and people alike, obviously. But I think what also ignited this was that I attended a really small school, an elementary school, which was only 6 kids, the entire school. And it was in the country, and I was there from grade 1 through 5.
Wow.
And so I was always embedded in nature and appreciating it and loving it for all that it had to offer. And so in grade 6, when I moved to the other small school, which had about 100 kids, I was really shocked to see that a lot of them didn't have that same respect for nature or animals, because I had always been taught to be compassionate and empathetic. So that's probably where a lot of this came from, I think, anyways.
Yeah. Wow. And, you know, from a higher perspective, when you think about it, this was all for you to, this was your path. This was your journey to do all this work and really make a huge astronomical difference, not only in your own family's lives, in the circle of family, but in the world. I always get amazed at what the young kids are doing, and I'm in such gratitude for all the work that you have been doing since all this started. Wow, Rachel, I've said wow I don't know how many times in the show. But I also wanted to ask you, there's other genetically engineered crops, but they're not sold in the Canadian market. Do you know if they're sold in the U.S.?
Well, I believe that alfalfa was maybe approved in the U.S., and it was approved here in Canada, but it hasn't been grown yet. It was postponed. because consumers really stood up and said that they did not want genetically modified crops that were alfalfa because it cross-pollinates a lot and that would have destroyed all organics. So that really does show you, actually, that consumers, when they stand up together, we can make a difference. And thousands of people across Canada, all on one day, came out and said we do not want GMO alfalfa being grown on those fields. So that's really the power of the people.
Right, right. And one person can make a huge difference. We're going to be going to a break in another minute, but I also wanted to bring up the GMO apples. And when we come back, I also would like you to share what your thoughts are with empowering youth and what in your nonprofit, what other kids are around helping you or have been inspired to pick up the ball and go with you. So, again, we are with Rachel Parent, 16 years old. She is a very wise young woman, and you can get in touch with her by going on Kids Right to Know, and they're accepting donations. Every donation that is given, whether it's a dollar from a child or $100 from an adult, is helping them to continue with all the work that they're doing. So we will be back in a moment. If anyone wants to call in, 617-237-1234 or 866-338-9663.
We are the ones to open up the doors. We are the ones, and we've been here before.
Take a journey to a place of the divine love within with Deborah Beauvais on the Love by Intuition show, Sundays 9 to 10 p.m. Our message is love in the purest form. The light within us all is a guide to recall our beginning, to learn to love self and humankind, to feel the higher power of our own divinity. To attract love, one needs to be love. Sunday, 9 to 10 p.m., all part of the Dream Vision 7 radio network.
Join us every second Sunday at 7 p.m. for Living on Purpose with Carolyn Romano, where we explore the mysteries, meaning, and sometimes madness of life. Let's figure out together the ways we're meant to serve and become the fullest expressions of our most authentic selves. Let's figure out together how to create lives of balance, abundance, and joy. This program is part of the Dream Vision 7 radio network.
Do you wish to have inner peace while living in challenging times? Are you unhappy and don't know why? Life consists of either a path of love or fear. When we choose a path of love, we learn and grow. If we choose a path of fear, we stay stuck in negativity. The time is now to heal ourselves and the world by choosing a different way. Through the path to your power, your inner light, you will find self-love and experience amazing changes. You can have inner peace, wonderful relationships, good health, and a flow of abundance. Complete the circle of illuminating love using our tools and learn how to retain your power throughout life. To learn more about the path to your power and the Divine Love Within consultations, call Deborah Beauvais at 508-226-1723 or go to lovebyintuition.com.
Tune in every first Sunday at 6 p.m. for Maximum Success, the Coach Bruce Show. You'll learn success strategies to take your game to the next level from performance consultant John Brubaker. Maximum Success explores why winners win and teaches you the keys to peak performance. This program is part of the Dream Vision 7 radio network.
The Dream Vision 7 Radio Network presents Kids for Love. It's a project, a mission, and a radio show. Come join Deborah Beauvais and her young co-hosts every second Sunday at 6 p.m. as we celebrate kids making a difference. We invite other kids to join in for the spirited conversation filled with creative ideas and possibilities to start their own mission. Let's raise the bar together and cultivate a kinder world by getting inspired to help others in need. Kids for Love Project. Celebrating kids that empower others. That's every second Sunday at 6 p.m.
Experience a different yet profound healing with Reconnective Healing. Includes yet expands beyond any and all known forms of energy healing. The Reconnective Healing Spectrum is comprised of the full healing and evolutionary continuum of energy, light, and information. It allows for healings that are not just physical, not just mental, not just emotional, yet go beyond that to bring healing that includes the evolution of your very being and essence. Deborah Beauvais, trained and certified by world-renowned Dr. Eric Pearl, offers appointment hours at Seekonk Family Chiropractic in Seekonk, Massachusetts. For questions or to set up both distance or local sessions, call Deborah at 508-431-1959. Again, 508-431-1959. Or go to lovebyintuition.com. That's lovebyintuition.com.
The music that you're listening to in between the breaks is, I can't recall her last name at the moment, but she's in Canada, and it's Francine. We are the ones, we are the children, and it's all about love and coming together in harmony. Rachel, I know you wanted to talk about the GMOs, the apples, so let's share what you have on mind.
Okay.
In mind, should I say.
So, recently, the genetically modified apple was approved in Canada, and this GMO apple, pretty much, you can cut it open and leave it open for about 3 weeks, and it won't go brown.
Oh, my gosh.
Of course, there are many issues with this, especially because then you can no longer tell if it's fresh or old. Another thing is that neither Health Canada or the FDA actually understand the technology, and they've come out and said this. So they really don't understand the impact on the environment or our health. In other words, they're kind of trying it on us. And I actually met with them and asked them about this. I asked them, when will this genetically modified apple be approved? And their response was, well, it could be tomorrow, it could be a year from now, we don't really know. And it was really disappointing when it was approved a week and a half later. So that was definitely disappointing, and especially because farmers nor consumers want it. In fact, when I was in BC talking to the farmers, they said that it would be way more expensive for them. And there's already a natural variety of apples that's not genetically modified that doesn't brown fast either. So why are they reinventing the wheel?
Right. So if someone's shopping, how do they know that they're not purchasing this GMO apple?
Well, this apple will be called the Arctic apple. So Arctic? For anyone out there who's listening, when the Arctic apple comes out, please try and avoid it. It has E. coli antibiotic in it. That way, it also helps with the non-browning. And the issue with that is that people are becoming resistant to antibiotics, and if there's ever a breakout of E. coli, then there would be really no way to cure it because the antibiotics would no longer work on people. So this is a huge, huge issue, and I'm urging everyone out there, when the Arctic apple comes out, just try and avoid it as much as possible. On the sticker, it will say Arctic apple, and it'll have a snowflake.
Okay, and Arctic meaning A-R-T-I-C.
Yep.
Okay, wow. That is unbelievable. And, you know, when you think about it, because I have 8 little grandchildren, but when I was a little girl, we were able to go in the garden and just pick things, and they were fresh, and then it wasn't, I think it was right about that time that they started introducing, pesticides and artificial this and artificial that, all about money for things to last on the shelf for 20 years, all of, and it just doesn't make sense. When you think about it, as I said earlier in the show, we're not, our bodies aren't designed to absorb and that's why so many people have problems with digestion and all the different, heart issues, because all our organs in our body are not designed for this kind of, what they call food, when it isn't. So, all right, well, let's take the rest of the time and talk about how we can empower the kids. And I wanted to ask you as well, for the listeners, do you have kids that are part of your organization that are helping you and putting the word out for you as well?
Yes, we do. We have youth volunteers all the time that help us out at events. Even as of recently, we have more and more youth helping us with things like social media or getting the word out as fast as possible to all their friends, or even making graphics. So it's been really, really great. We've been getting more and more people from communities involved in what we're doing.
Right, and with your age and younger, they're so in tune with social media, so you can make quite an impact with, even 50 kids could make a huge impact.
Well, exactly. I mean, social media, of course, isn't the answer to all our problems, and we really do need to get out there and make physical change with
sure.
what's happening. But it is definitely an incredible tool to get the word out.
Yes, and so what would you like to say for the kids out there?
Well, I'd just like to start off by saying that our planet provides us with the food that we eat, the air that we breathe, and the water that we drink. It really provides us with life, and as citizens of the planet, we all need to take responsibility to care for it and to protect it. We really all should be more aware of the many issues that we face in our world today, such as climate change or ocean acidification, even destruction of the Amazon or water depletion, endangered species, poverty. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. And I think the key is that we all have to find our passion, to learn more about their passion or their chosen topic, and then really they have to do something about it. And I get it, if you're busy and don't have time to join a club or start an organization or join a protest, but even small actions make huge differences. I mean, think about it. Even voting with your dollar makes a huge difference. And imagine what a wonderful world we would have if every single person found their passion and took action. What a wonderful world we would have, because we really all do have the power to make incredible change in this world. We just have to believe we have the power, and then we can do absolutely anything. So I really encourage all of you to get out there and make a difference. And as Rupert Stevens once said, always leave the earth better than you found it. And I really hope that that's every single one of your goals.
Oh, boy, I am moved tremendously by your insight, your knowledge. You're so articulate, Rachel. That was so beautifully said. I thank you.
Thank you.
Wow. And that is, I mean, everyone can make a difference. Even if you're 5, you can do something. There's a lot of kids that have heard different kids like yourself, Rachel, and will do jobs around the house and collect a few dollars and donate the dollars. Or they'll call and see what they can do to help that particular nonprofit. This is what we do, and it's the kids' generation. I really believe your generation and the one that's coming that is going to really save the planet. And you've mentioned too about animal cruelty, the GMOs, and all of that is tied into, as you mentioned, with the feed, and that overlaps into our
our pets that we have in the house.
Yep, exactly. Right? It's all a huge loop, and it's all connected.
Yes, we're all interconnected, all of us.
Yep. So we're one global community.
Yes, absolutely. So now, where are you off to next? Where are you? What's your plan? Do you have an event coming up, or what's going on?
Well, the summer is pretty busy. We'll be working on really organizing ourselves. And come fall, there's a lot of events. But here in Canada, it is election year. And what we're really trying to do is make the GMO issue an election issue and get the word out as much as possible about our food and what's really happening within the food system. So that's our main goal and our main campaign for the summer. And things will really start to ramp up again in the fall.
Great, great. And so you have an election this year. We have it coming up the next year. And I just trust that all the people that are making the choices and the decisions, that they start to think about the whole world and not just one country or one organization. But it's a, you know, it's unity consciousness is really what it is. And that's what I'm trusting that we're going into, or we're resonating now, and it'll just expand. And I bet you do as well, knowing how you feel.
For sure. And I think this is really a time where it's a massive global shift in thinking, and people are starting to realize that we have to value humans and our environment and health and really our entire ecosystem and our planet over profits and greed.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And we can, and it's possible. It is possible. And we're going there. We are going there, and there's a lot more work to be done. Is there anything? We've got a couple minutes left before we go out. Anything else that you would like to leave with the listeners?
I think the key message is that no matter what your passion is, please go out there and take action. It's not only for just our future, but it's for the future generations. We really do owe this to ourselves and for all the generations that are yet to come. So I'm begging you on behalf of the youth to get out there, make a difference in the world, and be the change you want to see in the world, as Gandhi said.
Yes, beautiful. Beautiful. Well, everyone out there, if you will share with your friends, your family, your coworkers, to listen to this show again. It is packed with wisdom from a 16-year-old Rachel Parent in Canada. And let's all help her. I want to put out there, let's all help her get the word out. You can find her on Twitter. You can also find the Kids Right to Know Club on Facebook, and spread around all the different things that they're posting from about GMO, so that it can get, we'll do that. I know Dream Vision 7 will do it. And if everybody does it, then it'll be what we hope it to be. And I'm honored to have you, Rachel. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you so much for having me here today.
You're welcome. And we'll have you come next year, too, and see what has transpired and what you've accomplished in the last year or so. And for everyone, if you'd like to donate, kids out there, if you're listening and you're 5 or 6 years old and you want to donate a couple dollars, or anyone else that want to donate, that would like to donate larger amounts, go on to Kids Right to Know, just as it sounds, kidsrighttoknow.com. And help Rachel empower all the people she needs to in order to make the changes for us to be a healthy humanity. And so with that said, until the next time, everyone, bye for now.
We are the ones to open up the doors. We are the ones, and we've been here before. Let us take care of each other.
Until the next time, Kids for Love Project challenges everyone to create a way of serving others in need. Whether it's a nonprofit or helping kids in your neighborhood, we can all make a difference. The gift received in giving of self heals everyone and everything on the planet. Let's unite and build a universal circle of kids, all making a difference for a brighter world. Kids for Love Project, celebrating kids that empower others. To learn more, go to our Kids for Love Project Facebook page.